live via podcast from Coach's Bar and Grill in Campbell, California. Welcome one and all to the 100th episode spectacular of Dudes on Hockey. And now your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Wow. Live announcing.
We got a like it. We got a live announce here. We got a small crowd.
We have a
hell
crowd
yeah.
Of friends and surrounding us. Dude, if only we had some wins to talk about.
If only. It's 0-2, dude. But you know what I have here in my left hand? It's a beer.
A delicious beer.
It's alcohol, and it solves all wounds regarding the Sharks.
Adult beverages all around.
That is Scott, our live announcer. You guys have been hearing him for 100 episodes on tape, and now we have him live, and he'll be doing all our sound effects for us. Isn't that right, Slappy?
Yes!
What do you love, Slappy?
I love that Rob Blank! Love that Rob Blank!
See?
Excellent.
Who needs sound effects when you got an announcer like Scott?
So much better live.
Way better.
Well, dude, should we get the painful part out of the way?
If we must.
All right. Well, let's talk about game 1 and 2. I suppose we need to talk about both, don't we?
We done yet?
Yes. All right. So let's move on. No. Dude, game 2. So we've already talked about... wait. Now, have we talked about any of these on the air yet?
Game what? Game 1?
We did talk about game 1 on
we
Chomp
did talk
Talk,
about
so
game
let's,
1.
So let's skip that. Go to game 2. Boy, we sure started out like we were shot out of the cannon, right?
We started out like game 1. It was like awesome domination by the top line. Good puck possession in the zone, cycle, the whole thing. Shots towards the net. No goals. Sharks are way up on the scoreboard. It was 10-3 at one point, I think, in shots. And I said, this is a bad time to give up a goal. And then what happened?
We gave up the goal.
A 50-foot wrist shot.
And Nabby gave up 2 of those yesterday. Not good, dude. Not good.
It makes me sad.
Yeah, it does. Unfortunately, the Sharks were totally unable to recover from that first goal. That was just the beginning of going downhill for the Sharks. The second period was really bad.
As the Sharks have been kind of all playoffs, right? The second period's been the worst period of all time.
What do you
thanks, dude. You see? I don't even have to hit the button. It does the sound effects. Dude, do it again.
Dude.
See? This is so good. It's just like almost by thought.
Is there any area that we can look at that game and say that we outperformed them in any area?
Only times, not in areas, because I think the Sharks dominated parts of the game, but they didn't dominate nearly as much time as Chicago did, and they certainly didn't dominate any particular part of the game, certainly not special teams. I mean, let's talk about special teams for a second. I mean, Wasn't it obvious that the refs went into the game saying, okay, Chicago's getting at least the first call, if not the first 2 calls, and then maybe we'll let the Sharks take a power play at that point?
Is there a conference call with Gary Bettman that happens where that's discussed, where Bettman says, listen, you know, Blackhawks, they really got robbed on Sunday, so I want you guys to pick up the calls.
We got to even this thing up.
And Kevin Pollock's like, I would like to.
2 minutes for slashing. Minutes.
So Kevin Pollock, you're not reffing anymore. You're out. You're out.
Right.
There was one tripping call that didn't happen that was really bad. There was a hold that you saw on Joe, right?
Oh, yeah. It was Dave Boland held Joe's stick for like 10 seconds. And then
it was like a junior high dance, that kind of holding.
Right. And then he clamped the stick between his arm and his body. And Joe was like sort of looking around for help to anyone who would listen. And everybody in the tank was yelling. And then Joe finally skates off. Boland finally lets go of his stick. And then Boland grabs the back of his jersey and pulls on it as he's skating away, which led, of course, all the fans to scream even more. Still no call. Because I don't think Chicago had 2 power plays yet. So I think the threshold was 2 power plays, then we'll let Sharks in on it. So
maybe.
Or 3 goals. Both happened. Then I think the Sharks got their first power play right after the 3rd goal.
What was more painful, the overpassing by everyone or Nabby's 2 50-foot goals?
Oh, Nabby, by far. I think McClellan said it. You could hear the air sucked out of the arena when that first goal went in. I mean, there was no reason for that goal to go in. It was almost like the goal that went in for the Sharks game 1, the Demers goal on the power play. It was just like, okay, a little floater from way far away. Miami just missed it. Nabby just flat out missed it. There's no reason for him to hit that goal. And you think, listen, we got a razor thin margin as it is, and now it now they're fighting from behind. It's going to be even tougher. So
it reminded me of Owen Nolan from 2000, whatever that was.
Yeah, yeah. What was that called? What was that?
The like? All-Star game? Is that what you're talking about?
The called shot? What are we talking about?
It was playoffs. Owen Nolan from the blue line.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Like the slap shot from the blue line or the red line or whatever that was. Yeah. It just like fumbled in. It was just... And the thing is, it just sucks all the confidence out of you that they're going to do anything after that. And, you know, the power plays look bad. And it's just their defense looks better. I mean, the thing is, we went into the series thinking, okay... Offensively, maybe the Sharks are about even. Defensively, Chicago probably definitely has the advantage. And really, the only facet of the game where the Sharks have a clear advantage is goaltending. In fact, it's been basically the opposite, right?
Yeah. I mean, Niemi has been outstanding in the first two games, but I wouldn't say that we've done a great job of getting any traffic in front of him. It seems like he can see everything.
That's true. That's true. And he's covering up the low areas because he's really tall. He's got long legs. And the Sharks aren't going high on them. They're not
Sounds
really...
Sounds like the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. But no, it's Antti Niemi.
That's right.
Dude.
Long legs. Legs up to here.
Ooh, yes. High heels. Oh, boy. Okay, now we're going down a wrong path.
Are we?
Dude. No.
Sounds like the right path to me.
What's with the overpassing? Everybody's got Joe Thornton disease. Pavelski was overpassing. Even Scott Nickel, you know, passed up an opportunity to kind of drive the center. And he did this really bad sort of lazy back pass that just instantly got intercepted. If we wanted bad passing, the Sharks would sign Jamarcus Russell, right?
True.
If we want intercepted passes, we'd sign Jamarcus Russell or we'd draft Jimmy Clausen. Right, Scott?
Exactly.
Scott's a big Notre Dame fan. I know that hurt his heart somewhere.
Thank
there.
You.
His face is a little redder. He got a little red just then.
I got a little sun.
It could be the Pabst Blue Ribbon. It could be.
Well, we are at a drinking establishment. So.
Dude, Joe Thornton again, -2, now -10 for the playoffs.
Yeah.
What?
Do we quote Dan Boyle here?
Go ahead, dude.
What did Dan Boyle say? We don't care about stats. We have to go out and get it done. We're going to go get it done. The fact is, one of the few players that I didn't have much of a problem with yesterday was Joe Thornton. Frankly, he played hard. He was hitting people. He was the only guy shooting. I thought I was in Bizarro World there for a while. You see Scott Nickel dishing. You see Joe Pavelski dishing. You see Ryan Klo dishing. And then you see Joe Thornton shooting. It's like, what the heck is going on here? Am I like, you know, am I delirious? Did I take one too many Adderalls this morning? I don't understand.
Yes and yes.
But I still know what I'm talking about.
Something's got to be wrong. I mean, if he's a -10, I mean, that's 10 things that have gone horribly wrong opposed to when he's out there. I mean, you know, he was out there for the power play goal, so that doesn't end up being in his stats. Seto also a -2, and... Our good friend, Nicholas Wallin.
Yeah, not so good.
Hamburgers.
So good. You got the other one, dude? What's the other one?
Ooh.
He had some pretty bad play. You know, and we got a lot of emails in the last 24 hours from listeners saying, why not play? Demers played under 3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So why not play Demers more and have Wallin either get scratched or ride the pine? And I think it's an interesting question that McClellan's going to have to consider, especially given when the Blackhawks get ahead and they start just, you know, putting four guys in the neutral zone and it makes it totally impossible to pass through there. And when we saw at the end of the game, I mean, probably the best way of gaining the zone is just trying to skate right through it. I mean, Torrey Mitchell had a great...
Dude, we got our first weird look of the evening.
Oh, awesome. Well,
people walked in, they're like, what the? I'm glad I don't have the buzzer. Dude, you got a buzzer? What the? Me. Was that?
Yeah, well, you know, we are sitting here with some homemade radio equipment in a bar.
Yeah.
So
that is a little strange. Sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, dude. That just made me very...
No, it's all right.
It just was really entertaining to me for some reason.
Do you play Demers over Wallin and maybe try and dress Ortmeier in game three, or do you just go with what you got?
No, I think you play Demers more. They need to get offense. You play Demers more, you lean on Huskins a little bit more. You put Wallin out and you put in Ortmeier and see what you can do. Or you put in Hellman, and whoever you think of those two is gonna do better.
The Hamburgers had one bad game, right? One bad game. Is that a reason to scratch a guy who's got all this cup experience? Who, that's the whole reason why he's here, right?
The only reason why I say yes is because he's the seventh defenseman. If he was the sixth defenseman, then I would say no, you keep him in, and one bad game is just one bad game. But when you're already dealing with like a little bit of an asymmetry in terms of forwards and D, you got 7D, which means you're only rolling three centers usually, and so you got a fourth center that has to rotate in the fourth line, kind of throws the lines off, throws the rhythm off a little bit. I say you got to switch that up. That's one thing you got to switch up. Wallin played really badly, unfortunately, and he's got to be the next casualty.
I guess it can't get any worse, so you may as well play Demers, because he can bring that element to the game where he might be able to skate it through on his own. You know, Dan Boyle can't play 30 minutes, or I guess he could. Duncan Keith did.
Right.
Is that what we're going to have to see? Another guy I did not have a problem with last night was Dan Boyle.
Yeah.
You know, I know he had at least one assist. He might have been in on both goals. I can't remember. Just one assist I'm getting from our announcer, Scotty.
Announcer slash statistician now.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had an assist on the first goal. I know that.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Nice, dude. Yeah. This is good.
It should be noted that we did shave our playoff beards.
Yeah. And we got a lot of guff.
We have gotten some grief.
Scott, lots of guff.
He's
Let
shaking,
me tell you,
he's
this thing is itchy as hell, and you guys are cleanly shorn.
Let me make a case here. We made this decision on the way home last night where we said, okay,
it was either this or jump off a bridge.
And we did try the former, and we got stopped.
Right.
But anyways, we tried the exorcism. That worked.
It worked.
Now we've hit a roadblock. We had to do something to change the mojo, right, dude?
That's true. I mean, we, you know, and it just happened to be also the thing that we changed also happened to make it a lot less itchy, right? Everybody wins.
Boo.
Now I can get back to my moisturizing routine.
Yeah, I noticed you're a little flaky here today, dude.
Speaking of moisturizer, Wingspan is here.
Wingspan
in Sharks Land is here. He's got a big smile on his face. Strangely enough, more popular than we are based on our listener comments and email. Chris, we're glad that you made it. And is there any small part of you that's happy that the Sharks are down 2-0?
Yeah, and it's not that small.
So many jokes, so little time.
Who let him in here?
All right, he's feeling for us.
He's pulling for us.
Okay, all right.
I got an idea for the next poll.
Okay.
Who thinks that you guys shaving your playoff beards is weak sauce?
All right, well, we can put that down there and see what the listeners have to say.
But I'd like to hear the listeners vote on this.
I guarantee if we win on Friday,
then we
will take all the credit.
Yes. We're going to kick ass if that's the poll, dude. You know that's the situation.
Let me ask you one more thing, dude. I'd like to see a little more Jamie McGinn and a little less Logan Couture right now.
Yeah.
Because McGinn seems to be getting in deep. He seems to be finishing all his checks. He's been causing a little bit of havoc. And Couture, honestly, I haven't really noticed him that much. We've been seeing him a lot more than McGinn, at least 3 or 4 minutes more. Would you make that change, dude? Would you play more Scott Nickel and more McGinn and maybe less Couture and Mitchell at this point?
I think so, because it seems like the key to the game right now, or at least one thing the Sharks can definitely improve on, is that physical play. They got to hit more. They got to create their own space. They're not creating their space by puck handling, and that's what Logan Couture is great at, because they got Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook and Brian Campbell. They got guys that are really shifty, really dexterous in the neutral zone and in the defensive zone. Logan Couture isn't going to be a guy that's going to beat Duncan Keith. The guy that's going to beat Duncan Keith is the guy that's going to try and put 200 pounds into him when he's in the corners, and that's Jamie McGinn. Jamie McGinn goes huge, and then he hits people, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And right now, Logan Couture, it's just really not working for him at all.
Scotty, what you got there?
I got a cheeseburger.
Sounds delicious. We are recording tonight at Coach's, which is in Campbell on Winchester Boulevard. And we have a little crowd here around us, so thank you. Oh, that's very nice. We've got the Lakers game on. We've got the Giants game.
We got strange looks. We got members of my hockey team here. Oh, Scott has a question. Scott said he was going to be here.
Scott, well, come over here.
Scott says he hasn't heard anything. This is a different Scott than the announcer Scott. We're kicking out the announcer Scott so other Scott can sit in the chair and ask us the question, because you know, it's like a
hockey hot seat.
It's the hockey hot seat. It's like there it's like go. Family style, you know.
We're Scott, the Maggianos of podcasting.
Hello.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Scott.
Excellent introduction.
Hamburgers.
And you have a question?
So I think I heard you guys allude to this before, and it actually was a bit of there's a bit of conflict in my section last night when a guy behind us started yelling down that, you know, the Nabby, you suck, Nabby, you suck. And the guy sitting to my left, who is apparently Russian, he turns around to the guy and says, hey, you get down there, you try to do this, you know, you try to do what he's doing. The guy's like, dude, the guy Nabby hasn't stopped anything in like three games. He sucks. And it literally almost came to blows. Like, the guy was, like, halfway crawling over
nice.
The sea, you know, ready to beat this guy down. Anyways, but the ultimate question that came out of it was, is why can Nabokov not stop a shot from above the circles?
Because he sucks?
I think that's the consensus.
a question you ask and I answer.
I mean, all the goals in this series seem like they've come from the top of the circle or higher. Right.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Dude, did you notice, and we talked about this on the radio show, about the guy who sits behind us who also likes to yell, yeah, man on, and Nabby, get back in your net, and all that stuff.
Right.
That guy yelled something about Nabby after the, I think it was the first goal, he yelled something like, Nabby, you suck, or something. And the lady who sits next to us, she turned around and just, she just ripped into him, dude. Did you hear that? And then he went radio silent for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't Russian, but you know, there definitely seems to be the Nabby detractors and the Nabby defenders. Where do you kind of sit on this? Do you think Nabby is going to be vulnerable the rest of the series, or is he going to kind of go back to his Avalanche form here?
Well, the knock on Nabby is twofold, right? The five hole, which we saw in game one, and then high glove, which we saw in game two. So sometimes he's on and sometimes he's off. Surely Chicago has the book on him. That's the book. And he was a little bit off. And
that sounds like a large book, actually. You know, five hole and
a very simple hand. Book. Oh, it's like one of those books that's written in like the really big print.
It's too bad because I think we thought Niemi had an encyclopedia, basically, that it was going to be easy to beat him, that he was going to have a bad game after a good game. That kind of seemed to be the pattern, and now he's gone 2-for-2, basically shutting us down. How much do you give credit to Niemi here, or do you think it's more on us not challenging him?
It's all us.
Oh, I like that.
Wow.
Scott.
It's all. See, I think it's some of the defense, too. I mean, this is the stingiest defense in the league in terms of shots allowed. I mean, it's...
Well, we played right into their hands last night. I mean, how many shots? We were in the mid-20s, right? I mean, we might have ended
25.
Up in the high 20s because the end of the game, but...
I mean, that's defense, right? I mean, the goalie doesn't say how many shots are coming towards the net.
Scott, talk to us.
We're playing like we played going into the Olympic break. Just horrible hockey. And I don't know what got us out of it coming out of the Olympic break, but I feel like I'm back in February right now.
Can you be more specific? What's horrible hockey?
Well, it's like you guys said, they can't connect on passes. They're getting too cute. They're not actually just throwing pucks to the net. I mean, I think Murray's the only guy I see consistently, like, he just wings it in there and just hopes for the best. The other guys are trying too hard to make plays. They need to go back to the basics now at this point. So
I wonder if, like, Niemi and the defense is getting in their head a little bit, and that's what making them overpass a little bit. Like, well, I may as well, there's no reason to shoot. It's sort of like we saw with Anderson. It's like, there's no reason to shoot because it's not going to go in anyway. So I might as well try to make this, like, highlight reel, like, saucer pass over 8 sticks and 2 feet and see if I get to somebody that's open on the side of the net. It never works.
But this is the pattern. I mean, that wasn't how they were playing to start the game. Once Chicago goes up, it's death.
Right?
Because then they managed to play this style for the last 20 minutes where they just dare you to try and even get it through the neutral zone, and we can't.
Right.
We can't even do it.
And it seems to be like the Sharks' Achilles heel all season, which is you just get it to the red line, you shoot it deep, and hopefully there's a winger on the other side who's at full speed when he reaches the blue line, and that's how you get him to back off.
Yeah.
And the Sharks just never seem to be able to execute that particular play ever.
They have the book on the Sharks, and it's high pressure. I mean, on the power play, high pressure in the neutral zone. And if the Sharks can get it in the zone, they're able to make things happen, but they're not able to do it. They have to skate it through. I mean, that's why maybe Demers is a better option to be out there. He might be a little bit more of a liability, but it's not like Chicago is overly physical.
Right.
You know,
Brian Campbell's not exactly overly physical.
How many? There were so many times last night where you're like, Campbell's even avoiding Scott Nichol.
Right. Like, Scott Nichol is along the boards, like, looking at the puck, and Campbell's like, maybe I won't hit him there. It's like, what else do you need? Like, a little person, a child? Adolf Hitler? He wouldn't hit any of it.
Wow.
I know. He wouldn't hit Hitler, dude.
You went there.
I think I texted somebody that during the game. I said, even if his sworn enemy was right in front of him, Brian Campbell wouldn't hit him.
Oh.
Dude, we've spent 20 minutes talking about this game. It's way too much.
That is. It's true.
We're at a bar. There's drinks here. There's people here. Who else wants to be on the microphone, right? 100th episode. Who else? Step on up.
We've got Kazam. Kazam, get in here.
Yeah.
Kazam, get in here. Get
Can
in
I
here.
Ask one quick thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys already address the Boyle comments and the implied guarantee of a win?
Not really. I mean, we talked a little bit about, I think, you made a mention that he said, you know, stats mean nothing, but Boyle saying, my favorite was what he said to Pierre LeBrun today, right before they got on the plane, where he said, we need to extend the middle finger to anybody who thinks we're not going to win this series.
He's like, yeah, we're going to win. He's like, we're going to get it done.
How is this guy not the captain of this team?
I don't know.
Isn't he just sort of anyways?
De right? facto?
I guess. I mean, where's Rob Blake right now?
I don't know.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Silent.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're saying stuff in the room. They had a players' meeting after the last game, right, that the press wasn't privy to, and who knows if they were yelling at each other or saying, we got to get this thing done or whatever.
What's the expected response for you? What are you expecting on Friday night in Game 3?
I'm expecting the first 5 minutes of Game 2 extended to at least the first period, if not more, right?
Don't they have to play like this is an elimination game, dude?
Absolutely. They have to. Because if they get up 3-0, it's over, right? I mean, everybody knows it's over.
Well,
I mean,
ask the Bruins.
I mean, not even the Flyers could come back from something like that. Oh, wait. Yeah. How about those Flyers, dude? Our bet is still alive.
I guess. I keep kind of waiting for them to lose 2 in a row in Montreal. You know that's coming.
No way, dude.
Dude.
Montreal is completely outclassed in that series right now. They have nothing. They haven't even scored a goal in 2 games.
You want to make a little wager about
Bring
game
it.
3? Okay. Canadians are going to win tomorrow night.
For sure.
Yes.
What are we betting?
Beer?
Where?
I would say game 5 at the tank,
exactly.
But I'm not sure it's going to happen.
Exactly. I was going to say game 5, but
here.
We don't know if we're going to be.
Here.
Okay, here at Coaches.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, you're on.
Yeah. All right, great. When the Red Wings are in the cup, we will. Oh, they're not going to be.
Oh, the Red Wings are out.
Oh,
that's
man.
Right. I forgot
so,
about
so
that.
I'm so used to saying that. It's just not going to happen.
It's just too bad. It's unfortunate there.
We have Kazam, who's sitting here. Kazam is a...
Hi, everybody.
Sharks fan.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Can you do the hamburgers sound effect as well?
I cannot.
Oh.
That's unfortunate. So, have you watched the games?
Yeah, you know, actually, I had a Sharks-related question.
Oh,
please.
You know, if you don't mind going back to
That's
it again.
That's what this is all about.
So, you guys describe what the Sharks should be doing in the next game, but I've been hearing in... Forgive me, but I'm not the deep down stats guy that you guys are.
Right.
I heard that the winning stats of the Blackhawks are quite low at home. So
right.
What do you guys predict, at least as far as game 3?
Well, they're 3-3 and three at home. They're only .500 at home, the Blackhawks, in the postseason so far. So this is definitely another opportunity for the Sharks to take a game. I think they have to jump on them early. You know, the Blackhawks, I don't want to go so far as to call them all, like, bandwagon fans. But the fact is, like, 4 years ago, they were 25th in the league in attendance. And now they're, like, first because they have this gigantic arena, and now they're filling it. So that place is going to be absolutely nuts. They've all jumped on the bandwagon with all these great young players that they have. And we got to take them out of the game. Sharks have to score first in game 3. And I'm hoping that will be sort of the first step along the road to a victory. Because if they give up the first goal in game 3, then Chicago, there's going to be 22,000 people going absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really, really tough.
I'll say it, dude. I'll say it. If the Bulls were still in the playoffs, there'd be half the fans there. Okay? If the
wow.
Bulls were still good, that there wouldn't be Blackhawks fever. All right? I mean, that's my take on
what
it.
What if
okay. All right. Here we go. Wings fan has a comment. Go ahead and read what we wrote for you. Go ahead. You got an original thought? No.
No, he begged off. He doesn't have an original thought.
I'm smelling some delicious food here.
I wouldn't have admitted that on the air.
I have to jump in on some food here in a little bit.
It's easy to get a little distracted here at Coaches. There's a softball team that just came in. Quizzical looks. towards us.
Dude, I'm going to make the call to the bullpen here. I see we've got Scotty has sat back in here, our announcer. Hey, Nicole.
Uh-oh.
Here comes Mike's wife.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to hear from a hockey wife here.
That's right.
You know, because it's kind of like being married to a player.
It is
in
a
way.
Except is, much less
our
rewarding
first,
financially.
First appearance by a podcast wife on
Dudes
the
on Hockey, yeah.
On Dudes on Hockey. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Hello there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So the question is, how does it feel to be a hockey widow?
Painful at times. Lonely at times.
But you do have the Hockey Widows Club.
But we do have the Hockey Widows Club. So sometimes we drink or shop, which is the best.
Yeah, that is...
Spend your money.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I don't have Joe Thornton's salary.
That's right.
Not quite there yet.
We could try and steer them towards the 99 cent store, but that doesn't really work.
Shopping
out.
At Kmart tonight, guys?
Hey, there you go.
Well, no, you know, Mark Smith's wife, every time the Sharks win... She gives 30% off in her boutique.
Ooh, there it is.
A little plug for Mark Smith's store.
Ayla, downtown Campbell, Mark Smith's wife, 30% off. Sharks win.
Yeah, so I figure, you know, maybe we could go there and, you know,
absolutely.
For all my hard-earned cheering and, right. you know, all that. Maybe
now,
I could get a
we had some listeners today post on the blog about some of their favorite moments on the podcast. Some people have cited Jody Shelley singing. Some people have said the song, Win the Cup song.
Yeah,
which,
I think I have the Win the Cup
we
song.
We have. But I have to say, my favorite moment on the podcast in the first 100 episodes is the time when you came in while we were recording with freshly baked cookies.
Yes.
I was so thrown off. I think it's the most memorable episode to me.
Most memorable for you?
Yes.
It is good.
Second
I mean,
second most memorable.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Wingspan is saying second
Wingspan
most memorable.
Yeah. Saying second most memorable.
And where were those cookies last week?
Well,
because reading
I would
stuff
bake
like a
more
third grader
supposed to be a punishment.
I know. I would bake as many cookies as it took. The Sharks would just win.
Yeah. So, anyway, there it is. Well, thank you for joining us, Nicole. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Nicole. We'll see you at home.
We love Tucson Hockey. Go Sharks.
I'll see you in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'll see you in like 5 seconds.
Right.
Dude, I want to say a toast to you. Happy 100th episode.
Happy 100th episode, everyone.
Congratulations, dudes.
Thank you very much, and thanks to all our friends.
No one knew that you guys would make it here, but you did.
All this time, podcasting. It's been almost 2 years that we've been doing this, and it sounds like some people have been with us from the beginning, so... Of course, thank you to everyone who's been listening. And
some people even went so far, even went further in my view, which is they started with us in the middle and then they went back and listened to old episodes. Now that's just hardcore because, frankly, those games. I mean, we're talking about, you know, oh, we beat the Wild, woo! You know, and it's like 2 years ago. You know, I mean, we did one on election night and stuff. You know, when we played the Wild, I remember that episode for whatever. Yeah. So someone, you know, 3 weeks ago was listening to the 2008 November episode where we beat the Wild. That's dedication. My hat is off to you. That's some good stuff right there.
Thank you, listeners. Well, dude, I think we've beaten it to death.
Have we?
I think so. I see a baseball team has come in here. We've been... our podcast is no longer the priority here at Coaches. they have come in. They look like a band of winners. Shall we interview one of them?
We could, but that would be even more awkward than the rest of this episode has already been.
How tight are those sliding pants?
News at 11. Stirrups. The solid ones or the really high ones That's with right. the straps on the sides? You know?
I keep looking for Eric Burns. I know he's playing slow pitch softball now. Maybe he'll come walking in here.
Any day now. Well, dude, I think this was a good idea. I'm glad we made it to Coaches, and most of all, I'm glad that we have alcoholic beverages to drown our sorrows after the Sharks are down 2-0. So.
Well, all we can do is hope for the best.
Go Sharks, game 3.
All right, I like that. We'll end on that note. Scotty says, go Sharks. I'm not giving up, dude. You know, this team has responded in the face of adversity. This is about as deep a hole as they've had this entire Stanley Cup playoffs, so we're going to find out what these boys are made of.
Against the toughest team they face so far.
We can make all the excuses we want, but the most important thing that everyone should know is the Blackhawks are, they're good. They're the best team in the NHL. You know, and I think it's hard to argue with that. And the Sharks are going to have to step up if they're going to want to take them out.
All right, dude. Good times. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week at our regularly scheduled time, same place. Thanks for listening, dude.
Go Sharks.
Go Sharks.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.